Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. Today's episode, we have Volume 3 of The Whistler. A popular radio show back in the day ran from 1942 to 1955, with well over 600 episodes. But crazy enough, 200 of those episodes are lost. Since I've started doing this, it's pretty crazy how many episodes or series are just lost or missing. At the time, maybe they didn't think to save them, or just getting recorded over. And I'm starting to see it more and more with every episode that I do. All the more reason why preserving and sharing these are important. Now, speaking of The Whistler, if you enjoy this episode, please check out Volumes 1 and 2 in the archives. And also, if you find yourself enjoying the show and coming back again and again, please consider following, reviewing, and rating the podcast. Those small things really help out. And keep sending in those questions so that I can answer them on our one-year anniversary celebration. You can find ways to contact me in the links in the description. And with that, please enjoy the show.
Wait a minute. Have you heard the weird tales of the Whistler? I'm the Whistler.
There's something wrong. Terribly wrong. I'm going to wait a few more days, and when I'm sure, I'm going to take care of you, Joe.
Well, what do you mean?
I'm going to kill you.
Sunday night, and again CBS presents The Whistler.
I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak. And so tonight I tell you the bewildering story of Mirage. Fred Adams is an attorney, a promising young attorney. Fred is a specialist, for his practice has been limited to nightclubs and bars. In other words, Fred is what is called a mouthpiece. He steps gaily down the street tonight, unaware of the two men leaning against the black sedan parked in the shadows between the lampposts.
Hi, Fred. What's your hurry?
Huh? Oh, hello, Joe. What are you and Mike doing in this end of town?
We're waiting for you, Fred. Thought you might like to take a little ride.
Ride?
Yeah, the boss wants to have a little talk with you, Fred.
Well, not tonight. I'm busy. Got an appointment.
The boss would like to talk with you, Fred. Get in.
I told you I'm busy. I'll drop around tomorrow.
What are you so busy about, Fred?
How'd you like a poke in the nose?
Get in the car, Fred.
Let go of me, you hood!
We ain't kidding. Get in.
What'd you two guys do without a gun?
Get in.
Okay, okay.
$50 15 minutes later, Fred makes his way through the crowded tables of the Swank Tripoli Cafe toward a door marked manager. He hesitates a moment, glances at the two men beside him, and knocks. Across the room, a beautiful woman sits behind the desk, toying with a long cigarette holder.
Come in, Freddy. Come in.
Well, we got him, boss. And where do you think he was? Over on Park Avenue.
How fancy. Wait outside, Joe. I want to talk to Freddy alone.
Yeah.
Sit down, Fred.
Well, what's wrong? You in trouble again, Gloria?
Would it matter to you if I were in trouble?
Of course it would.
Where have you been the past week?
Has it been a week since I saw you last?
You know it has. And a week is too long to suit me, Freddy.
Well, you know my phone number. If anything had happened, you'd have found me.
Doesn't make me very happy to think I have to go out looking for you. Kind of lets me down.
Oh, for the love of Pete, what happened?
Nothing's happened here at the cafe.
Oh, what's the matter, then?
It's you, Fred. It's what you've done.
I haven't done anything.
Why do you think I paid your way through law school?
Well, because you wanted to. And because you needed a lawyer around.
Is that all?
I don't know.
I thought we were together in this thing for keeps.
Well, yeah. I'm still your attorney. What else do you expect of me?
You have the nerve to sit there and say that. You know how I feel about you. You've always known.
We've always been pals, good friends.
Pals? Friends? Oh, Freddy.
Now, what are you trying to say?
I knew for the past 3 weeks that you were changed. Couldn't figure it out. But I found out this afternoon. Here it is in the paper. District attorney's daughter to wed young lawyer.
Well, what about it?
Are you really in love with her, Fred?
Certainly. Why shouldn't I be?
I don't think you are. I knew you were campaigning for the DA in this last election. I know you're ambitious. I think you've got your eyes on a job in the DA's office more than you have on the girl.
I tell you, I love Brenda Gibson, and you can think whatever you like.
Is she pretty?
Very pretty. Young.
I don't like the way you said that, Fred. I'm not so old.
I didn't mean it that way. You're a very beautiful woman, Gloria.
Am I?
But, well, I don't know what it is. You've done everything in the world for me. No one could ask for more. And I've always cared more for you than any woman I've ever known. Until now. But there's something about Brenda. That, well, she's so different.
Go on.
I hate to say this to you, but I've got to make you understand. Brenda's intelligent. She comes from a fine family. She has... well, she has culture.
And I came up from the chorus.
Now, Gloria, I didn't expect you to take it this way.
Well, how did you expect me to take it?
I didn't think you were really in love with me. It never occurred to me that you had any ideas about marriage.
What do you think I am, a totem pole?
I looked at our association more as... well, as a business arrangement. You financed me through school, and when I got up in the money, I'd pay you back.
Oh, Fred, don't say any more.
I know I've been blunt, but how else can I tell you? What else can I say?
There's nothing you can say, but I'll tell you something. You're getting out of your element. You don't belong there. You belong here with me. And if you marry her, you'll live to regret the day you met her.
Now, look, don't be like that. Don't be a hard loser.
You'd be better off dead.
You don't mean that, Gloria?
No, Fred, I didn't mean that. Oh, darling, please go before I say any more. I know I haven't a chance, but I... please go.
I'm sorry, Gloria. Terribly sorry.
Bye, Fred.
I'll be seeing you. Goodbye, Gloria.
Now, a week later, the papers are filled with stories and pictures of Fred and Brenda and the district attorney, and parties and dinners and teas. Read them, Gloria. Pore over them. Mr. and Mrs. Frederick Adams this and Mr. and Mrs. Frederick Adams that. Read them, Gloria. Read them and weep. Meanwhile, on a train to Miami...
And Fred, darling, after we spend a few days in Miami, we can fly over to Nassau. Father has a place there, and I know some wonderful people. We can have a great time. Fred?
Hmm? Oh, what did you say?
Snap out of it, darling. We're on our honeymoon.
Yes, Brenda, I'm sorry. I know we're going to have a swell time.
My sister Nella's spending the summer at Nassau.
Why didn't Nella come home for the wedding? She was to be your bridesmaid.
I told you, dear, you can't always get transportation just when you want it these days.
After all, Nella's your only sister. She could have made an extra effort.
What are you thinking about?
Oh, business.
Business? What business?
I was thinking about my new job. How did your father have to make a place for me in the DA's office?
I suppose he thinks you're a capable young attorney.
Did you ask him to appoint me?
Well, I may have had something to do with it. Oh, I wanted you to start out right. You don't mind, do you?
Certainly not. What swell of you. I only hope I can make good.
You will. And who knows, maybe you'll be the district attorney yourself someday.
I hope so. At least I'll break my neck trying.
Oh, let's forget about everything for the next 2 weeks, but
I love you so very much, Brenda.
Darling, I'll spend all my waking moments trying to make you happy.
Thanks, dear.
You'll never regret the day you met me.
What did you say?
I said you'd never regret the day you met me.
Oh, I should say I won't. Not a chance in a million.
Now the happy honeymoon is over, and Fred and Brenda are back home. Fred is in the district attorney's office and progressing nicely. But Gloria, poor Gloria, still sits in her office at the Tripoli and broods over her fate. She scans every item in the society columns, searching for news about Fred and Brenda. And every item, every picture, nurtures her resentment. And her resentment slowly turns to hate. And finally something snaps in her mind and she begins to harbor thoughts of revenge. Yes. Revenge.
Joe! Joe!
Yeah? What are you yelling about, Gloria?
I wasn't yelling. Close the door.
It sure sounded like yelling to me.
I said I wasn't yelling.
Okay. I apologize.
No, sit down.
Oh, look, Gloria, what's eating you? Why don't you get out of this office? Go out and visit with the customers the way you used to.
Why should I?
Well, they all miss you. They're all asking, where's Gloria? I run out of excuses.
I didn't call you in here to talk about the business.
Well, maybe not, but I thought it was time I said something.
Where's the evening paper?
I didn't get it.
Why not?
Oh, look, Gloria, snap out of it, will you? Why don't you quit hunting for news about Fred? You're only driving yourself nutty. Fred was a nice guy, but he's gone. He's married. Forget him.
I can't.
Well, you could try.
Not as easy as that.
After all, he ain't the only man walking around. There's one or two others, you know.
Yeah?
Well, there's one guy in particular who might get your mind off Fred, if you'd give him a chance.
Yeah? Who?
I know I'm not as good-looking as Fred, and I ain't got his fancy manners. But I like you just as much as he did, probably a lot more.
Sorry, Joe.
At least I wouldn't walk out on you for any other dame.
If you did, I wouldn't blame you.
No?
No. I'd blame the other woman. She had no right to take him away from me. He belonged to me.
Oh, Gloria, please forget it.
No, I won't. I can't. I've made up my mind.
Huh? What are you thinking?
Where's your car?
Outside.
Where's your gun?
In my pocket.
Some people are giving a party at their country place tonight for Fred and his wife.
But Gloria...
But Fred was called out of town on business. They're giving the party anyway. And she'll be there. Friends will be there.
So what?
You'll wait for her. And follow her when she leaves.
Wait a minute. Nothing doing. I ain't bumping off no woman.
Sit down and shut up.
You're crazy. You're gone absolutely nutty. I'm getting out of here.
You're driving me to that house.
I won't.
No? I wonder if the police would be interested in knowing who killed Lefty Hammond.
Gloria, you wouldn't.
Wouldn't I?
Well... Okay, you win.
Better. Go get in your car. I'll go out the back way and meet you in the alley.
Gloria and Joe sit in the car in the deep shadows of a spreading tree. The hours drag on, and then about 1:30 in the morning, the party breaks up and the cars begin to leave. Finally, Brenda comes through the gate driving her own coupe.
There she is. That's Brenda. Get going, Joe.
Is she alone?
Yes, she's alone.
I sure wish you'd change your mind.
Don't get too close to her.
I ain't got nothing against her or Fred either. What good's this going to do you?
You wouldn't understand.
I think you've gone off your beam. Maybe you're cracked.
Shut up. I'm not crazy, if that's what you mean.
That's what I mean.
Drop back a little.
They say crazy people never think they're batty. You might feel different about this in the morning, Gloria. Maybe you ought to see a doctor. Oh! Cut it out. Cut it out. Where do you get off slapping people?
Move along. You're losing her.
Well, lay off that rough stuff. I might decide to change my mind about the whole thing.
Nah, you won't change your mind.
It'd be funny if something happened to you.
If anything happens to me, there's a letter in my safe that tells all about you. So you better see that I get back to the Tripoli.
Okay. I was only kidding.
Yeah. We're coming along to that long stretch now. No cars behind us and none coming. Step on it now. Run her off the road. Now, run her off in that ditch.
Are you trying to wreck me?
Get out of that car.
What is this, a holdup?
Get out and shut up.
I haven't anything but a couple of rings.
Take a rings, Joe.
Well, this is a new one, a woman bandit.
Any money in your purse?
A few dollars.
Take the money and scatter the rest of the things around.
Yeah.
Now, ruffle up her hair, Joe. Muss her up.
You take your hands off me.
Oh, have a heart, Gloria.
Okay, I muss her up, but good.
Look, are you? Take your hands. What's the meaning of this? Here. Stop what you want. Why don't you let me alone?
I'll let you alone, Mrs. Adams.
Who are you?
Start walking.
What?
Start walking off through those trees.
I won't. Stop.
Get moving.
What are you going to do?
See to it that you don't do any more chiseling in, Mrs. Fred Adams.
I don't know what you're talking about. What?
Let her have it, Joe. Well, what are you stalling for? You missed her. Give me that gun. Well, and that's the last of Mrs. Adams.
She's dead.
Yeah. There's your gun. Now, let's get out of here.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter? What are you waiting for?
I'm kind of dizzy. Kind of sick. I can't drive, Gloria. You better drive.
And I thought you were experienced at this business.
If I hadn't seen you do it, Gloria, nobody in the world could have made me believe it. Nobody.
Anything about it in this morning's paper, Joe?
No, not a thing about it. And it was the night before last, too. I can't understand it.
Are you sure she was dead?
Of course I'm sure. Oh, what do you suppose could have happened? She couldn't have walked away. Say, maybe they haven't found her or the car yet, huh?
It's impossible. That's the main highway. Hundreds of cars passed there in the course of a few hours.
Well, maybe they've seen the car, but just thought it was a wreck. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Hey, you better lay off that stuff, Joe. You've been drinking for 2 days now.
Yeah, but I need it. I'm jittery. I got the willies like I never had before. Say, maybe I ought to drive by that place and see if the car's gone.
Okay. Get back as soon as possible.
Yeah, sure. I can't get it off my mind. I don't mind telling you. I'm scared.
Go on. And quit talking so much.
Gloria, I went out there.
Yeah, well, I know. What did you see?
Nothing. The car was gone. I looked all around for the spot. There wasn't a sign of anything. No trinkets, no blood marks, no nothing.
Well, then they must have found her.
But why don't they say something in the papers about it? If they just said something, I could stand it. It's driving me nuts.
Are you going to lay off that stuff?
No, he ain't. I need it.
I don't need it.
Yeah? I don't know what you're made of, but whatever it is, it's sure tough. I never knew a woman could be your stuff. I'll never forget it as long as I live.
Ah, you're a jellyfish.
I can understand one guy rubbing out another one for doing something against the gang, but I never thought I'd see a woman do a thing like that. And for no good reason.
There was a reason. And shut up.
I couldn't have done a thing like that. You could have turned me in first. There she was. Laying there, covered with...
Shut up!
It's funny, this stuff don't seem to have any effect on me. It's just like some water.
Get hold of yourself.
Poor kid. I never felt so miserable in all my life.
Did you get the late papers?
Yeah. Here you are. Well, anything in it?
No. Not a word.
Hey, maybe...
Maybe we didn't do it, Gloria. Maybe it was just a nightmare.
No, we did it all right and proper.
If I don't hear something soon, I'll go crazy.
Hey, wait a minute.
Huh? What is it? Did they find her?
No. Well, what do you know about that?
Well, what is it?
Look at this picture.
Holy smoke. It's her and Fred.
Mr. and Mrs. Fred Adams attend the races.
When?
Yesterday. It isn't possible.
But it's her. I know it's her, Gloria. How could she? She's dead. Hey.
What's the matter?
Maybe it's her.
Her ghost? Don't be silly.
I'm getting out of here. I'm leaving town.
Look. You're in the other paper.
Huh?
Day before yesterday. Fred Adams and wife attend tennis match.
And another picture.
What could this mean? What did they say something about it?
You see, Gloria, it's getting you down, too. Oh, please, Gloria, let's pull out.
It's uncanny. I can't believe it.
If it's in the papers, you gotta believe it.
Did you double-cross me, Joe?
What do you mean?
Did you have blanks in that gun?
Blanks? I'd certainly hate to get hit with what I had in that gun. She's dead, I tell you.
But she better be.
What'll we do?
We'll wait. That's all, just wait.
Okay. But I don't think I can stand it, Gloria. I'm going to pieces.
But they did wait. They waited for two more days, and Joe, fortified with his bottle, was able to hang on. Then Gloria began to crack under the strain of waiting.
Joe, I can't stand it any longer. I gotta do it.
Do what?
I'm gonna call Fred's apartment to see if she's there.
I wouldn't.
Hello? Is this the Adams apartment? Is Mrs. Adams there? An old friend from out of town. Yeah, thank you. She's there.
Holy gee.
She answered. Oh. I heard her. You lied to me, Joe.
I didn't lie. I didn't. I had bullets in that gun. I saw her and she was dead.
There's something wrong. Terribly wrong. I'm going to wait a few more days. I'll check again. And when I'm sure, I'm going to take care of you, Joe.
What do you mean?
I'm going to kill you.
That's crazy.
I don't think it would be safe to have you walking around and talking.
Gloria, listen.
Come on, we're going to my apartment and wait. The story's bound to break sooner or later.
I'd rather get out of town.
You're coming with me to my apartment. Get moving.
Then 3 more days of sleepless waiting. The tenseness grows and grows. Suspense is almost stifling. Poor Joe can neither sleep nor eat, and Gloria becomes pale and drawn. Then Joe finally emerges and goes on a little scouting tour about town to see what he can learn. Then on the next night, a knock at Gloria's apartment door.
Who is it?
It's me, Fred.
Fred? Wait a minute.
Hello, Gloria.
What do you want, Fred?
May I come in? I'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, of course. Come in.
It's rather late, but, well, I had to talk to you.
What about? I never expected to see you around here again.
Well, I was lonely. I had to talk to someone.
Lonely? Well, sit down, Fred.
Thanks. You look kind of tired, Gloria. What's wrong?
Well, since you mentioned it, you look a bit weary yourself. What's wrong with you?
Oh, nothing much. I sent you a check clearing up what I owed you. Did you get it?
Yeah. There's something wrong, Fred. What is it?
Oh, a little trouble, that's all.
Sort of trouble.
Domestic?
Domestic trouble? What do you mean? That isn't...
It isn't possible? Is that what you're going to say?
Yes, I thought you were quite happy with your wife.
Well, things can develop suddenly. I certainly found that out.
Well, what happened? Or do you want to tell me?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I do. Guess that's why I came here. You're always so darn understanding. You always knew the answers to things.
But what happened?
Well, I guess I really didn't belong in the upper crust. You had it figured out about right. Everything was all right until Brenda started to shape my career.
Shape your career?
Yes. She had everything all planned out for me. She and her father had it all figured out. I wanted to go into the DA's office and move up on my own initiative. They didn't want it that way. They wanted me to start out as a big shot.
Did she leave you?
Well, yes, yes. We just agreed to disagree.
Oh. Well, where is she now?
Her father's place, I suppose.
When did she leave?
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Are you sure it was yesterday?
Of course. Why do you ask that?
Well, no reason, I suppose. I just can't believe it. Seems a shame. Well, I'm very sorry for you, Fred. Believe me. I know how you feel. I was let down with a dull thud once.
Were you?
You should know.
Oh, Gloria, I was such a fool. You were right. I should have listened to you. You could see what was coming, and I was too dumb to realize it. Have you forgiven me?
Yeah. Yeah, Fred. I'd have to forgive you. I love you so much. I've never been able to forget you for one single moment.
I'm sorry, Gloria. Terribly sorry.
Fred, I've got a strange feeling. I don't know what it is, but I've got a feeling you're not telling me the truth.
What? You mean you don't believe me?
There is something you haven't told me. What is it?
Why, nothing. I've told you everything.
I don't believe you, Fred.
All right. Gloria, I'm in a tough spot. Brenda hasn't gone away. She's dead.
Dead? What on earth do you mean?
Yeah, she was found dead beside a car a number of days ago. The day after we had a nasty argument, but I didn't do it. There had been many threats against the district attorney and a member of his family. It may have been any one of a number of persons.
But nothing's been said about it in the paper.
I know it. They purposely kept it quiet, hoping the real killer would show his hand.
That's silly. Why should he?
I don't know. Oh, darling, it's all a mess. I'm completely worn out over it. I know they suspect me. I don't know what to do about it.
Gloria! I seen her.
Who?
She was standing under the lamppost at the corner. She spoke to me. She said, "Hello, Joe. How's Gloria?"
Shut up, you're drunk.
No, it was her. It was Brenda. I ran for the elevator, and as the doors closed, she was coming into the lobby. She was terrible. Oh, pale and awful looking.
You're simple, and you got the snakes.
No, it was her. And she's coming up here. It's her. I don't want to see her. I can't look at her. I can't stand it.
Joe, turn on the lights.
I won't.
Turn on those lights.
Never mind the lights. Who? I can see you. All three of you.
Brenda. What do you want?
So you're Gloria. Yes, I met you for the first time not many nights ago on a deserted highway.
Joe, it is her.
Come out of the corner, Joe. I can see you. Joe, the man who pulled the trigger.
I didn't.
What do you want?
So, Fred, you were in on the plan, too. You wanted me out of the way because of Gloria. You were back of the whole thing.
No, Brenda, no. I had nothing to do with it.
You decided you'd made a mistake, that you wanted Gloria.
I didn't. I swear I didn't.
Tell him, Joe. Tell him how you shot me down. You had the gun. Tell him or I'll...
No. Get away from me. Don't touch me. I'll tell. I didn't do it. She did it. Gloria did it. I didn't have the nerve.
He's lying. I didn't do it.
Go ahead, Joe. Spill it.
I ain't going to take the rap for this. Gloria went off her beam when you married Brenda. She went crazy with jealousy. She knew about that party, and she made me drive her out there. We followed Brenda and then ran her off the road. She tried to make me do it, but I couldn't. I fired wild, and Gloria grabbed the gun from me and let her have it.
He's lying.
How could she make you do it?
She threatened me. She's got something.
Shut up!
I don't care. She can tell what she knows about me, but I can prove that she killed Brenda.
How can you prove it, Joe?
I wore gloves. I still have the gun, and the only fingerprints on it are Gloria's.
You dirty little...
I figured she might try to double-cross me.
What about it, Gloria?
All right, I did it. I shot her. I couldn't stand it any longer.
Turn on the lights, Joe.
Hey, she ain't dead. It's her. Brenda ain't dead.
Good Lord.
Oh, yes. Brenda's dead, all right. Quite dead.
And what is she?
You'll find out, Gloria. What a strange quirk of fate. It was your money that caused all this. It was you who put me through law school so that I could defend you. But now, I'm sorry to say I'll be forced to be your prosecutor. Sorry, Gloria. Terribly sorry.
Well, Gloria, you've come to the end of your rope. Things didn't work out as you'd planned. You really killed Brenda that night. But Fred got a brilliant idea. He had Nella, Brenda's twin sister, come up from Nassau and pose as his wife. That's how all the pictures appeared in the papers. And it was Nella who just walked in on you and got a confession. And how did Fred know you were the one? Well, there were several suspects. But you, Gloria, made the mistake of phoning for Brenda too many times. And the police traced your calls. Too bad, Gloria. Jealousy is a terrible thing.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production is composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. The Whistler is written and directed by J. Donald Wilson and originates from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next week, Sunday at 9:15...
I, The Whistler, will return to tell you the strange story out of the fog. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Wait a minute. Have you heard the strange tales of the Whistler?
I'm the Whistler.
I was with Danny when it happened. But I couldn't hang on to him. He ran off and left me, and I've been looking for him ever since.
That was Captain Fowler. Something had happened to his friend, Danny.
I ain't going to no doctor at this time of the night. Tomorrow, maybe, but I'm not going tonight.
That was Danny. Danny knew something had happened to him, but he didn't know what it was.
But, Danny, you couldn't have done a thing like that. I know. Don't worry, Danny.
That was Faye, Danny's girlfriend. And this is Joe Rodriguez, a fisherman.
It's much better that I leave town, Danny. If I stay, I might forget I am your friend.
Sunday night, and again CBS presents The Whistler.
I, the Whistler, know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales, many secrets hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. And And so I tell you tonight the strange story of fog.
Well, Danny, my boy, this is the thickest fog I've seen in this harbor in many a year. Now, I've been a sailor man for a long time.
Yeah, that's right, Captain. Can't see a single light along the entire waterfront. But we don't need light for where we're going. I know the way to the anchor pool room.
Yeah, I know, too. Hey, Danny, you didn't bring your gun, did you?
Sure I did. Why?
No, wait a minute. I'm not going to let you talk to Duke Moran with a gun in your pocket.
Why not, Captain?
Well, you might lose your temper and do something you'd regret.
What's the matter with you, Cap? I ain't going to shoot anybody. I just want it in case Duke Moran gets tough.
Oh, sure. I know, but if he gets tough, you can handle him with your fists.
Sure. Unless he tried to slip a knife through my ribs.
Well,
don't worry about the gun, Captain. I won't lose my head.
So Danny and Captain Fowler continue on their way toward the anchor pool room, Duke Moran's usual hangout, where Danny intends to have a showdown with Moran. But the captain is worried about Danny's gun, for he knows that Danny hates Moran to the core of his being.
Now, look, son, I hate to keep bringing this up, but, you know, I wouldn't go storming up to the Duke and start raising the debt.
He borrowed money from me, and he ain't kept his word about paying it back.
Oh, I know, my boy, but he'll pay it back.
No, he won't. He's planning to skip town and leave me holding the sack.
Now, look, you're working for me, Danny, and you're my best friend. And I'm going along to back up your claims because I was a witness when the loan was made. But look here, I don't want to see you in no trouble.
Oh, I'll take it easy. But I can tell you one thing.
Hey, look out for that hydrant. Look up. Danny, are you hurt? Here. Let me help you.
No.
There. That's it now. Easy does it. Up now. There we are. Nasty spill. You just sit here for a bit. Oh, you took a real header.
Huh?
How do you feel, Danny? Yeah, better let me see if you cut yourself.
Keep your hands off me. Who are you?
What?
What is this, a stick-up?
Danny, are you kidding?
Go away. Get away or I'll call the cops.
Why? But Danny, you're out of your head.
Get away.
But don't you know me?
Let me alone.
Oh, come back here. No, don't go away. Come back. Danny!
Danny breaks away and quickly disappears into the fog. For a quarter of an hour, Captain Fowler searches the vicinity and finally hurries on to the anchor pool room.
Hey, any of you guys here in the pool room seen Danny Price?
Oh, hello there, Cap. No, I haven't seen Danny.
Neither have I, Cap. Don't think he's been around.
Oh, I see. Well, is Duke Moran here?
The Duke? He was here a minute ago. Where'd he go, George?
Out in the alley, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Some guy opened the back door and called him.
Some guy...
Uh-huh.
Well, tell me, was it Danny?
I don't know.
I don't know either, Captain. We didn't pay no attention to who it was.
Oh, I see. Well, okay, boys. Thanks.
Later that night, groping his way along the waterfront, Captain Fowler arrives at the box office of the Crystal Motion Picture Theater. An attractive girl is selling tickets.
Hello, Faye.
Well, hello there, Captain. Going to the show?
Oh, no, not tonight, Faye. I'm looking for Danny. Have you seen him?
No, I haven't. And I'm sore at that big lug, too. He promised faithfully he'd be here to take me home, and it's time to close the box office right now.
Well, look, Faye, I don't want to excite you, but I've got to tell you something. Danny's had an accident.
An accident?
Yeah. He fell down on the street. He tripped over a fire hydrant, and when he got up, you know what happened. He couldn't remember nothing. He was walking around someplace in a daze.
Good heavens.
Yes, I was with him when it happened, but I couldn't hang on to him. He ran off and left me, and I've been looking for him ever since.
Would you tell the police?
No.
Well, for heaven's sake, tell him, Captain. Maybe they can find
him. No, Faye, I don't want to tell the cops.
Why not?
There's a certain reason, and I don't want to talk about it here.
Look, you wait here till I check in the cash. It'll only take a few minutes. I'll be right with you.
All right, Faye.
All right, Captain, now tell me. Why didn't you notify the police?
Because Danny's got a gun on him.
Oh.
Yes. He was on his way to see Duke Moran. You know about that money.
Yes.
And he was afraid the Duke might start something.
I see. You say you've been looking for Danny?
Yes, I've been everywhere. Been to the casino, over to the bowling alley.
Have you been to Fred's Cafe?
Well, no.
Well, Danny goes there for coffee sometimes.
Well, all right. We'll take a look. Fred's Cafe, why, it's in the next block, ain't it?
Yeah.
Oh, I tell you, Faye, we got to find that kid. He's like a crazy man. You know what he did? He looked me right in the face and he didn't know me.
Oh, my goodness. Captain, suppose his memory never does come back.
Oh, now, Faye, don't carry on like that. And don't you start worrying. Yeah.
Oh.
I know how you feel. You and Danny engaged to be married and all, but don't you worry. I think everything will turn out all right.
Oh, I hope so.
Hey, wait!
Listen.
What's your hurry, folks?
That's Danny.
Well, sure it is.
You going to a fire or something? I've been chasing you for a block.
Oh, Danny.
Hiya, Faye.
Oh, Danny, you're all right.
Oh, sure. Sure, I'm all right. Except I'm kind of mixed up. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in the Clark Hotel. And I don't remember going there at all.
The Clark Hotel?
Yeah.
Well, so that's where you been.
Well, seems to me I was walking along with you, Cap.
Of course you were, Danny. Don't you know what happened? You had a lapse of memory.
Huh?
Yeah, we've been worried to death about you. The captain and I were looking for you. Oh, Danny, I'm so glad you're all right.
Oh, so I've been off my noggin.
Sure. Don't you remember falling over that fire hydrant?
Fire hydrant?
Yes, that's what did it, Danny. When I helped you up, you thought I was a stick-up man. You ran off down the street.
Well, I'll be darned. How long ago did this happen, Cap?
Well, it's been an hour ago or more. You've been in the Clark Hotel all that time.
Well, how should I know?
When did you come to your senses, Danny?
Well, just now. I'm sitting there in the lobby wondering what it's all about when I seen you folks passing the window.
Oh, swell. But look, Danny boy, you're going to a doctor right away.
What do you mean, doctor?
Well, your head. You must have struck it when you fell.
Oh, my head's all right.
Oh, now, please, don't put up an argument, Danny.
Oh, now, look. Hey, here comes an ambulance. Maybe I better flag it down and crawl in.
Oh, now, don't be smart.
Wait a minute. That's no ambulance. Well, it's a police car.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, come on. Never mind the police car. Danny, come over here under the light. Let me take a look at your head.
Oh, now, look, Faye. I tell you, there's nothing wrong with
it. Hey, look. You see where that car's stopping?
Huh?
Over in front of the anchor pool room.
Yeah? Well, wonder what's happened there.
I don't know.
Well, forget it.
No. I want to find out what's going on.
Yeah, so do I.
Come on, Danny. Let's go over and see.
All right, you people. Get back now. Don't block the doorway.
Hey, what's happened, officer?
The guy's been killed. Shot.
Yeah?
Yeah. They just found his body out in back of the pool hall.
Well, who was he? Do you know?
Yeah, Duke Moran.
Duke Moran murdered, killed on the very night that you, Danny, with hatred in your heart and a gun in your pocket, were on your way to demand your money. Could it be that after your mind went blank, you continued on to the anchor pool room? Look at your gun, Danny. If no shots have been fired, you're all in the clear.
Did I kill him? Come on, Danny, let's go.
Well, how do you like that? A guy gets bumped off owing me $100.
Yep, and you can kiss that dough goodbye.
And how?
Captain, who do you suppose killed Moran?
Well, how should I know? Didn't have any enemies that I know of. Except Danny.
What do you mean, except Danny?
I wasn't the guy's enemy. I just wanted my money back, that's all.
Sure, I know.
You know what?
But you just wanted your money back. What are you getting so excited about?
Hey, boys, let's not walk down this way. There's no doctor in this direction.
Oh, Faye, will you let up on that doctor thing? I tell you, there's nothing wrong with my head.
How do you know?
Well, anyhow, I ain't going to no doctor this time of the night. Tomorrow, maybe. My head starts aching or something.
Is that a promise?
Oh, okay, that's a promise.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah?
You know, I went to that pool hall right after you disappeared. I thought maybe I'd find you there.
Yeah? Was I there?
No, you wasn't. I asked about Moran, and they said he'd just gone out in the alley. Somebody opened the back door and called him.
Why, Captain, you must have been there just before the murder.
Sure looks like it. I'm sorry now I didn't go out and back and see who Moran was with.
It's a shame you didn't.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, I've been wondering...
All right, go ahead and say it. It was me that called him out and back. It was me that killed him.
Why, Danny...
Well, that's what he's thinking, Faye. I can see it sticking out all over him.
Danny, you mustn't say that.
He knows I've been out of my head for an hour. Can't remember a thing, so now he's trying to pin a crime on me.
Shut up, you fool. Shut up. Why should I want to pin a crime on you?
That's what I'd like to know.
What if you did kill Moran? I'm not holding it against you. You couldn't be blamed. You was off your nut.
Well, I didn't kill him.
How do you know?
I didn't. I know I didn't.
Yes, but how do you know?
Oh, Captain, use your head. Danny lost his memory, and that includes his memory of Moran and his grudge against Moran and everything.
Sure. So now what do you got to say?
Well, maybe that grudge was in the back of your mind, Danny. Even while your memory wasn't working.
You see, Faye, he's bound to make out I did it.
Oh, no such thing. But look here, if you was mixed up in this murder, Danny, it's up to me to help you. I'm your friend. And I gotta find out about it, Danny. Now, let me see your gun.
Huh?
Let me see your gun.
Oh, the devil with you.
Let him see it, Danny. That'll settle everything.
Sure he can see it. There you are, Captain.
Thanks, Danny. Yeah. The barrel smells of powder.
Oh, you're crazy.
And two slugs have been fired, Danny. Look here.
All right, so the gun's been fired. And that means I killed Moran, I suppose. You're crazy, I tell you.
He's right, Captain. That gun doesn't prove a thing. He might have fired those shots anywhere for no reason at all.
Sure, I've been out of my head, ain't I?
Don't you worry, Danny boy. You didn't kill Moran.
Of course I didn't.
You couldn't have done a thing like that. Not even in a trance. So don't worry. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry, Danny, don't.
Poor Faye. She doesn't believe her own brave talk. Deep down in her heart, she's afraid. Afraid that Danny is a killer. It is nearly midnight now. Danny and Captain Fowler have returned to their boat, the fishing boat Dolphin, in the harbor. Danny sits on the deck, gazing morosely into the fog.
Well, hadn't you better turn in, kid? You ought to get some sleep.
Oh, I couldn't sleep. Stick here a minute, will you, Cap? I'd like to talk to you.
Well, sure.
Sorry I blew my top the way I did when we was ashore.
Oh, that's all right, Danny.
I know you was thinking of my interest when you asked to see the gun.
Well, sure I was.
All kidding aside, it looks pretty much like I bumped off Moran, doesn't it, Cap?
Well, Danny, to be honest with you, it does. Still, there's room for doubt. And if I was you, I'd lay low and say nothing.
And I know one thing. I could never be convicted of murder, even if I did do it.
Why not?
Because I was suffering from amnesia.
Yeah. Trouble is, how are we going to prove that?
How are we going to prove it? Well, couldn't you prove it? You was there when it happened. You saw me go slug nutty.
Sure, but who's going to believe me? I'm your friend. They think I was lying to save your neck.
Yeah. I see what you mean. But things look pretty bad then, don't they?
Ah, now look, Danny. Don't go hanging yourself in advance. You know, maybe it's like Faye said. Maybe you just happened to fire them shots.
Hey, listen.
Hmm?
I hear a motorboat.
Well, so what?
It's coming this way. Hear it?
Well... Sure, I hear it.
It's the cops. They're coming here to ask questions.
Oh.
I'm getting out of here, Captain.
No, you keep your shirt on. I'll hail the boat and find out who it is. Now, you wait right here. Ahoy there!
Ahoy!
Who is it?
It's me, Joe Rodriguez.
Oh. There you are, Danny. It's only Portuguese Joe.
What's he doing out here this time of night?
Well, I don't know.
Here is my line, Captain. You make me fast. I'm coming aboard.
Okay, Joe.
How'd you know we'd be up this late?
Yeah.
I just took a chance, Danny. But I am glad you are up.
Well, don't tell me you ran out of live bait again.
Oh, no. I got plenty live bait.
Huh? What can we do for you, Joe?
Captain, I got a little business proposition I would like to talk over with Danny.
And I would like to talk to him private.
Private?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Anything you got to say to me, you can say in front of the captain.
No, no, Danny. This is private. Very private.
Oh, see. Well, that's okay, kid. I'll go below. I was about to turn in anyway.
Thank you, Captain.
Oh, don't keep him up too long, Joe. He needs some sleep.
It'll just be a few minutes, Captain. Good night.
Good night.
Well, what's on your mind?
Danny, I'm fed up with this town. Business is rotten here. I want to go to Seattle.
Yeah?
And I need a little money, Danny. $200. And I want for you should let me have it.
Are you kidding?
Ain't you got $200?
Sure. Sure I have, but I'm getting married in a few days. I need every cent I've got.
Oh, yeah? The sweet young lady who works at the Crystal Theater, huh? You'll be very happy with her, Danny.
You bet I will.
But you'll be much more happy if you give me the money so I can get out of town, Danny.
What do you mean?
I am your friend, Danny, and I do not wish to cause you any trouble. But I know something about you that nobody else in this world knows. Not one soul.
Yeah?
Yeah. Tonight I am in an alley. Behind the anchor pool room, there is much fog. But I can see a little bit because there is a light. I see you shoot Duke Moran twice to the heart.
You're a dirty liar.
So, you see, Danny, it's much better I should leave town. If I stay here, I might get drunk someday and forget I am your friend. I may talk, Danny.
You climb in that boat of yours and get back to shore. Go on, or I'll throw you overboard.
You come to see me tomorrow, huh? Before noon? If you don't come by noon, well, maybe I get drunk, huh?
Cap, you awake?
Oh, yes, Dan.
Well, there's no room for doubt now. I'm the guy that did it.
How do you know?
Portuguese Joe was an eyewitness. He was there in the alley, saw the whole thing.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
That's right, Cap. A dirty rat came out here to blackmail me. Tried to shake me down for $200. Said I'd have to dig it up by tomorrow noon or he'd start talking.
Well, I'll be darned. Kid, I guess it's time we started doing some fast thinking.
Now, that ain't necessary, Cap. I'm clearing out tonight.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't get panicky now. Now, let's give it some thought.
No, I'm on my way, Cap. No fooling.
Where are you going?
I don't know. But I'm going for good. I won't be back.
You won't be... Oh, now, look here. What about Faye? What about your wedding?
Well, that's just a broken dream, Cap.
Oh, Danny. Well, at least you're going to see her before you go, ain't you?
No.
Well, Danny, what's the matter with you? It ain't fair of you to run out on Faye.
It's the fairest thing in the world. Why prolong the agony? There's got to be a clean break.
Oh, but Faye's such a grand kid. And she'll wait for you. Faye's loyal. Yes, sir, Danny. After this thing blows over, you'll find Faye right here waiting for you.
I don't want her to wait for me. And I ain't coming back. Can't you understand that? You think I'd marry Faye now? Me, a killer?
Oh, yeah, I know.
Love that girl. I wouldn't bring disgrace on her. And it would be disgrace even if I cleared myself of the charge. I'd still be a killer.
Yeah, I guess you would. Well, I guess there's no use talking to you. You won't listen to a word I say.
No, Cap. I've made up my mind. I'm going to pack my grip now and go ashore.
golly, kid, I sure hate to lose you.
Yeah, I hate to go, too, Cap. You've been a prince to me. More like a brother than a boss.
Well, all I can say is... Thanks, Danny.
Even when you knew I was saving up my money to buy a boat of my own, to go into competition with you, you never said a word.
Why should I? Oh, this is a free country. Every man has a right to advance himself.
And about Faye, I wish you'd explain to her. You know what to say.
Well, not quite as good a talker as you are, Danny, but I'll try.
You know something, Cap? I wish you and Faye'd get married. I know you'd make her happy.
Me and Faye? No, she wouldn't have me.
Don't be too sure about that. She'll forget about me after a while. But explain things to her, will you?
Well, okay, Danny. I'll try. I'll do my best.
Well, I'm going to hit the first freight train out of town. So long, Captain. Say, what are you doing here?
Oh, Danny, I'm so glad I saw you. I was about to get a boat and go out to the Dolphin.
Yeah?
I've got some wonderful news for you.
What?
At least I think I have. What caliber is your revolver?
Well, it's a .38.
I thought so. Danny, you didn't kill him. You didn't kill Moran. He was shot with a .45.
Huh?
Yeah. I just came from the police hospital. They took the bullets from Moran's body. They were bullets from a .45.
Oh, no. No, no, that can't be right.
It is right, Danny.
Oh, there's some mistake, honey. Look, I hadn't figured on telling you this, but there was an eyewitness to the murder. Portuguese Joe, the bait peddler. He's just been out to the boat trying to shake me down for some hush money.
Well, he's a liar if he says you did it.
Oh, no, honey, you got a bum steer about them bullets.
I didn't, I tell you. I got it straight from the doctor. What's more, I've been to the Clark Hotel. The clerk said you were there for practically an hour, sitting by the window. That means you went there right after you left the captain, so you couldn't have been to the pool room.
Well, I'll be darned. Now, look, Faye. Suppose you go out to the Dolphin. Here, take this grip. Tell the captain what you just told me. And tell him I'm paying a visit to Portuguese Joe right now.
Yes. Yes. Just 1 minute. Who is it? Who's there?
It's me, Danny.
Oh. Well, I wasn't expecting you so soon, Danny. You could just as well have come in the morning.
I wanted to get this thing settled.
Sure. Have you got any money?
Joe, you didn't see me shoot Moran.
Nah, Danny, I hope you're not going to put up no argument.
You lied to me, and I'm here to get the truth.
Now, look, Danny.
Come on, admit it. You lied to me, didn't you?
No.
No, you shoot.
Oh,
you're...
Let me go! Let me go!
I'll took the living daylights out of you, you rat! Oh. Come on! Come on, tell me you lied!
Yes, I lied to you.
I thought so. Oh,
let me go now.
Sure, I'll let you go. But you're going to come clean. You're going to give me the lowdown on this whole rotten business. Come on now, start talking.
The fog has lifted now. The eastern sky heralds the approach of dawn. As Danny returns to the Dolphin, he finds Faye standing on the deck.
Gee, Danny, I thought you'd never get back. It's almost daylight.
Well, I had a long ways to go, honey. Joe lives way out at the end of the Channel Street Wharf. That's where his bait shack is.
Well, what'd you find out? Did you face him with his lie?
I sure did. Is the captain in his cabin?
No, he's not. He's gone ashore.
Gone ashore?
Danny, there's something wrong with the captain. He's been acting very queerly.
Yeah?
When I told him you'd gone to see Portuguese Joe, his face went as white as a sheet. Then he went over to his desk and wrote a note, sealed it in an envelope, and told me to give it to you when you come back.
I'll bet I know what's in it.
What?
A confession. But I won't need it now. I got one from Joe.
Well, what do you mean?
Honey, the captain's been framing me.
Framing you?
Yeah, that's right. It's hard to believe, but it's true. Remember he said he didn't go out and back at the pool hall to see who it was that called Moran out in the alley?
Yes.
Well, he lied. He did go out there, and he saw the murder committed. He knew who did it.
Why, Danny.
And right then, he got a bright idea. He figured he'd make me believe I committed that murder. So I'd take it on the lam, get out of town. You see, honey?
Well, why would he do that?
Because he was in love with you.
What?
Our wedding day was getting closer, and the captain was half crazy with jealousy. He wanted me out of the picture so that he could marry you.
Oh, Danny, I can't believe that.
It's true, honey. Joe told me. I'd have gotten a lot more out of Joe, too, only he broke loose from me and dived into the water. Last I seen of him, he was swimming away.
Well, what about the murder? Did you find out who killed Moran?
I got a hunch that Joe himself did it. After he left, I looked around his shack. I found an IOU there signed by the Duke.
It did? Then the Duke owed Portugee Joe money, too.
Yep. And I figured the captain made Joe a proposition. If Joe'd come here and make me believe I was the killer, the captain wouldn't squeal on me.
Sure, Danny. That makes sense.
Well, I better see what the captain wrote.
Yeah. Open it up, Danny.
Dear Danny, I suppose you know everything by now. I haven't got the nerve to face you, kid, so I'll be the one to hit the freight. You won't need to save any more money for that boat. I've signed over the Dolphin to you. You'll find the papers in my desk. Good luck, Danny, and make Faye a good husband.
Yes, the captain was the villain in our story. But wait, what about Danny's gun with the two empty shells? That doesn't fit into our solution at all. Or does it? Remember when the captain and Danny were on their way to the pool hall and Danny stumbled over the hydrant? The fog was pretty thick, you know. The captain didn't have a bit of trouble in slipping that gun out of Danny's pocket. He wanted to make sure Danny didn't use it on Moran. And later, after the captain had formulated his plot against Danny, it was a simple matter for him to fire a couple of shots from the gun and then slip it back into Danny's pocket when he met Fay and Danny on the street. Yes, a fog sometimes has its advantages.
CBS has presented The Whistler. Original music for this production was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Tonight's Whistler story was written by Herbert Connor, directed by J. Donald Wilson, and originated from Columbia Square in Hollywood. Next Sunday, same time, 9:15.
I, The Whistler, will return to tell you the unusual story of jealousy. Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.